continue our subject on divine partnership. How many people have been blessed with this message? Divine partnership. We've been talking about the person and the personality of the Holy Spirit. I will say this again, you know, as I go into the message so that people can get it in their spirit, that the person of the Holy Spirit is and has been the most neglected person of the Godhead. There's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Amen. The person of the Holy Spirit is the most neglected person, but yet he is the one that is with us and in us right now. Amen. Amen. The work of the Holy Spirit is to produce sonship in the believer. Somebody say, produce sonship. The Spirit of God is he who reveals our inheritance. Every single part of what Jesus died for. The Spirit of God on the inside of us is the one who uncovers and shows us things to come. The Spirit of God, according to John, 1 John chapter 2, verse 27, he's the anointing that abides in us forever, and he teaches us concerning all things. Somebody say all things. That means that nothing is exempt from his teaching. He will teach us concerning our marriages. The Holy Spirit is very interested in our marriages. The Holy Spirit is interested in our teenagers, in our children. The Holy Spirit is interested in our finances. The Holy Spirit is interested in every intricate, detailed part of our lives. Man, God is not vague. God is not unorganized. Amen. All you got to do is look at the planet. Look at the trees. Look at everything in the world, and you can see that God is a very structured Father. Amen. He's a very organized God. And the Spirit of God is pulling us into divine order. But that divine order is, watch this, is a result of the prerequisite of divine partnership. One translation says intimate friendship. Tell your neighbor, say, neighbor, I have an intimate friendship with God. Amen. If you don't got these messages, you can go back there and you can get them. We're going to be putting this whole series together. Our foundation scripture is 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 14. Turn there with me, and I'm sure they'll put it up on the screen also. 2 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 14. I'm reading from the King James Version. I'm going to do some teaching today, some preaching, and amen. We're going to do some closing and going home. Amen. 2 Corinthians 13 and 14. When you get there, somebody say, praise the Lord. Let's read it together on the count of three. One, two, three. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen. There's certain words that jump out to me that didn't jump out before. I want you to circle the word all. Somebody say all. The Bible said this communion or this common union. The word communion is two English words squoze together. This common union of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Now watch this right here. It is God's desire that every believer on planet Earth be infused, be filled, be saturated, and be under the government of, the control of, the tutorship of the person and personality of the Holy Spirit. A lot of times we think that that gift of the Holy Ghost is just for certain people, I should say, amen, or the gifts of the Spirit. But the Bible tells us that we should covet earnestly all the gifts of the Spirit. So the Spirit of God on the inside of us, he is no respecter of persons. He won't elevate one person up and have you down in the mindset of being down here, as if you've done so many bad things in your life that God can't use you, amen. When it comes to God's mindset towards you, every last one of us are new creatures in Christ Jesus. Old things have passed away. I don't care what you did just yesterday. You give your life to Christ today, amen. The Bible said you are a new creature. And though you may have done what people say that you did, you are not the person that they say that you are, because you are only who God says you are. Come on, somebody say amen to this. You are only who God says you are. And that's what we got to do. We got to line our thinking up with what God says about us. So the Holy Spirit wants us to walk in that divine partnership with him so that we can be the sons of God. We found in the book of Romans chapter 8, verse 13, it said, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. Amen. The Apostle Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 13, he said, when I was a child, he said, I spoke like a child. I thought like a child. I understood like a child. He said, but when I became a man, somebody said, when I became a man, he said, I put away childish things. So there are different levels in our partnership with the Spirit of God. There is the level where we just are a child. And amen, we got to be, our diaper got to be changed. You know what I mean? We got to wipe, you know, got to have a bib on, different things like that. But then you move from that child stage into that sonship stage, amen, where you are a son, amen, and where you don't need somebody in the car to be driving with you. You can get in the car and drive yourself. The Holy Spirit wants to be a partner with you, a co-laborer with you. Why? Why does he want to be a partner with us? Because he wants to bring us into our inheritance. Because I told you, when we look good, somebody say, when I look good, it makes the Father look good. See, when my daughter is 15 years old and she's up there singing, when people hear that that's my daughter, the first thing they think about is this, that her parents must be doing something right. Come on, somebody say amen. See, when you look good, God must be doing something right in your life. You make your Father look good. John chapter 15 says this right here. He says that if you abide in me and my word abides in you, the word abide means to remain, to continue. It's the Greek word meno, which means to unpack your luggage, put your clothes in the drawer, shut the door, amen, put the key on the dresser, because you have made this your permanent place of residence. He said, when you abide in me and my word abide in you, he said, you'll ask whatever you will. Somebody say, whatever you will. Whatever you will. See, this is the place where we got to get. You ask whatever you will and it shall be done unto you. Nothing will stop it from being done when you are abiding and when you are continuing in God's word. And then Jesus said this right here. He said, this is how my Father is glorified. When you bear much fruit, that means that when you start bearing fruit and you start bringing forth the things of the kingdom of God, guess what? God is glorified. God looks good when you look good. Amen. So that divine partnership is for the purpose of bringing you into your inheritance, bringing you into sonship. Romans 8 says that if we are children, then we are heirs. Somebody say heirs. And then if we are heirs, we are joint heirs. Somebody say joint heirs. He said that if we suffer with him, we'll also be glorified together with him. Amen. Now, let's look at what the Message Bible says. It says the amazing grace of the Master. Somebody say amazing grace. Jesus Christ, the extravagant love of God. Somebody say extravagant love of God. Watch this. And the intimate friendship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. They sang a song today. I am a friend of God. God called Abraham friend. Amen. There is a place in God where you can see him as a close, intimate friend. Amen. You don't look at him as some guy sitting up in heaven with a big hammer ready to whack you upside your head every time you mess up. Amen. You see him for who he is. Amen. The Spirit of God. Amen. He's your friend. Amen. The word communion means the participation, the fellowship, or the partnership of the Holy Ghost. I'm going to say this definition again for the Webster's Dictionary. It says the word partnership means the state of being a partner, one who has joint interests. A contract by which such an association is created. Tell your neighbor, say, neighbor, I have a contract with God Almighty. And see, this is something you can bury in your spirit. We have a legal binding contract, a legal binding agreement with the person of the Holy Spirit. Amen. What does this mean? We do our part, he'll do his part. Here's what it means. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 30 says this right here. Now unto him who is able to do exceeding abundantly above what we can ask or think according to the power that worketh in us. So when we start allowing the power of God to work in us, now God can fulfill his part. He can do exceeding abundantly above what we ask or think. How do we get the power to work? Above what we ask or think. So the power is only going to respond to what you ask and what you think. I'm trying to show you something here. You're in a covenant with God, a legal binding contract. So when you start asking according to his will, 1 John chapter 5, verse 14 says, this is the confidence that we have. Somebody say confidence. Well, you know what it means to be confident. I've said this for a couple weeks now. When I sat down with Pastor Sturgis the other day in his new shop over there, and he started cutting my hair after we got done, amen, he gives me the mirror all the time. And I told him, I said, I really don't need the mirror. because I know what kind of work you do. I'm confident in the work. And he said, you know what, PC? He said, I cut another guy's head. This is powerful right here. This is, somebody say confidence. He said, I cut another guy's head from the college. He said, and he went back and told somebody else. And that guy came and he sat down in my chair. And then after I cut his hair, I went to give him the mirror. And the guy said, I don't need the mirror. Y'all watch this. Why didn't he need the mirror? Because he already heard the testimony from what somebody else said, how good he cut hair. So he sat down in the chair in complete confidence. Another word for confidence is trust. Come on, somebody say trust. The Bible says in 1 John 5:14, this is the confidence or the trust that we have in him. Somebody say in him. It said, if we ask anything that is according to his will, this is where your confidence is built, because we're going to be talking about this today. This is where your confidence is built, when you start developing what his will is in your inner man. Well, how do I know his will, Pastor Claude? His will is his word. You don't have to cast a fleece to find out of his will. Amen. You don't have to go to the psychic hotline to find his will. You don't have to, amen, go to Cleo's house and do a palm reading to find his will. You don't have to read the horoscope to find his will. You ain't got to go to the buffet and open up the cracker, you know what I'm saying, and see what his will is. All you got to do is get inside his word, because his word is his will. But if you're going to see the will manifested, John chapter 1 says that the word became flesh and it dwelt among us. You're going to have to allow the word or the will to become flesh. The word flesh is the Greek word sarx, which means a person. The word has to become a person in order for the glory to manifest in your life. So the Spirit of God wants to take us in that partnership relationship where we navigate this intimate personal relationship with him through wisdom, which is God's word, as we act upon the word. Oh my God. As we act upon the word, as we confess the word, as we speak the word, the Spirit of God is taking us through the process of becoming the sons and the daughters of God. Come on, somebody say amen to that. And obtaining our inheritance. Ooh, I feel a preacher on me today. 1 Corinthians 1:9 said, God is faithful. Somebody say, he is faithful. See, sometimes you got to say that 2 or 3 times in a row. He is faithful. He is faithful. He is faithful. He is faithful. And I tell you this, sometimes people have given their word to us and they didn't keep their word. Or maybe you've given your word like I've given my word. And I had all the intentions in the world to keep my word. But sometimes, you know, our frailties being human beings and our weaknesses being human beings, amen, and developing and growing and progressively into his image, sometimes we can miss the mark. But God is not a man that he should lie, neither the Son of Man that he should change the way he think. He can be trusted in. He can be relied upon. That means in this legal binding contract or covenant that we have with him, this partnership or this common union, in this agreement that we have with him, he is faithful to his part. You hear what I'm saying here? Now tell yourself, say, God is faithful, by whom you were called or you were summoned unto the fellowship. The word fellowship means the partnership of his son, Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Amen. Today we're going to talk about a side of the Holy Spirit in this relationship of partnership that I think is very important. We talked about the side where we talked about, you know, building intimacy with him, or principles of intimacy. And we talked about the principle of loss. We talked about the principle of have and keep. We talked about the principle of willful surrender. And we talked about the principle of cooperation. Today we're going to talk about, in our partnership with the Holy Spirit, we're going to talk about the power of his word. The power of his word and the purpose of his word, or the power of truth. Amen. Say, neighbor, the Holy Spirit, he is the Spirit of truth. Now I want you to turn to John 14:15-17. John 14:15-17. Now, I'm going to pitch in one of these laws, and if you don't understand what I'm talking about, one of these principles, what you should do is you should go back there, amen, and ask Brother Jason to burn you one of them CDs. I think they're selling them for like $5 or whatever they're selling them for, so you can get this, amen? The principle that I'm going to talk about, I'm going to continue on the principle of cooperation, and parts of it is the principle of willful surrender also, amen? The Bible tells us that you and I have received grace. Somebody say grace. For obedience to the faith. We should, listen. The grace that we have should make us obedient. I'm going to say it again. The grace that we have. A lot of times we make God's grace cheap. People make God's grace cheap. What we do is we make his grace be the covering for sin. Every time we mess up, every time we goof up, we cover ourselves with that grace. Amen. But the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 29, that we got to get to the place where we don't do despite unto the spirit of grace, where we don't insult the spirit of grace. There is a place in our life where you and I can be those partners together with God. Amen. I'm saying a lot of scriptures, but I'm just flowing. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 17 says this right here. He that is joined to the Lord, take your name and say, I'm joined to the Lord, is one spirit. Now, I'm painting a picture to you right here. The spirit of God on the inside of you cohabits together with you in this house, this physical body. This body is not you. This is your earth suit. You and the spirit of God live in this earth suit, in this body. Why is the spirit of God in you in this body? So that you can be fruitful and you can multiply and you can replenish the earth. You can subdue it and you can have dominion. You and the spirit of God, me, I and the spirit of God, us in this physical house right here is here to take complete dominion over everything in the earth. Everything that is outside of God's word in this world, you and I together in this cohabitation with the Holy Spirit, we are here to bring everything back into divine order. Everything that's out of line, we are here to bring it back into divine order. You are not here to just wait one day to wish that you can fly away and go to heaven and your life get better. Right now, you have power. You have the same power. Somebody say power. Ephesians chapter 1 tells us that we have the kratos power of God. That's the dead raising power of God. I don't care what it might look like in your circumstance or your situation or your family or your physical body or whatever it is that you're going through. You got the same spirit that raised Jesus up from the dead living on the inside of you. But the power, watch this, only works when you and I start willfully surrendering to him. When you and I accept that principle of loss, where we count all things as loss, that we might win the anointed one, Jesus. See, the anointing has to be pursued. The anointing has to be sought after. The anointing is here to remove the burden and destroy the yoke. Guess what? Wherever the anointing is, guess what? Oppression gotta go. Depression gotta go. Doubt gotta go. Fear gotta go. Rebellion gotta go. Divorce gotta go. Sickness gotta go. Disease gotta go. Poverty gotta go. Lack gotta go. You gotta catch what I'm saying. Wherever the anointing is, anything that's opposite to God's word, it has to go. It cannot stay there. Let God arise and every enemy be scattered. See, and this is the word of the kingdom of God. God don't want us thinking that, guess what, this is just how life is going to be. Nah, baby, nah, nah, nah. The Holy Ghost is the spirit of truth. And if there's error in our life, guess what? As we partner together with him, he's going to start uncovering truth and showing us. Why? He said, because when you know the truth is going to make you free. You got to catch what I'm saying. So the Spirit of God wants to get us to the place where truth is exposed on a daily basis, to where you and I are not walking in the excuses of our everyday life, talking about I'm going through this because of this one, and I'm going through this because of that one. No, the Spirit of God wants you to know truth. Why? Because where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. There is freedom. Why is there liberty and freedom? Because he's the Spirit of truth. Whew, my God. I'm telling you right now, my God, we about to take Adrian to a whole nother level of thinking, to a whole nother realm. My God, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 16, who hath the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? Or who hath known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But you have the mind of Christ. You and I have the mind of the anointed one, Jesus. My God, you catching this right here. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwells in you. He dwells in you. Come on, somebody say in you. I think it's 19 or 20, whichever one it is. But watch this right here. The word temple means, it's the same word that we use for holy of holies. It's the Greek word naos. Watch this right here. In the Old Testament, God dwelt in a house that was made with the hands of man. In the New Covenant, he dwells in you and I. He don't need this brick and mortar. All he needs is us. See, it's a revelation for you to know that you need God, but it's a whole nother level of uncovering and revelation for you to understand that God needs you. Anything that God wants to get done in the earth, he has to do it through a willful man and a willful woman. God's will cannot happen just by happenstance and just by chance. His will just don't fall through the cracks of your life. Guess what? You have to appropriate God's word for yourself and cause his word to come to pass. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Every man of God that ever did something great, including myself, found this revelation right here, that the whole time God was waiting on us, the whole time we were waiting on God, God was waiting on us. Somebody say amen. John chapter 14, verses 15 through 17, Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commandments. You could put it in parentheses next to that, keep my word. Keep my word is giving you the indication that something or someone is trying to take his word. He said, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you, what? Forever. Even the spirit of who? The Holy Ghost is the spirit of truth. You cannot say that you're being led by the spirit of God if you're walking in error, because he's the spirit of truth. Let's move all excuses out the way. Come on, somebody said, let's just get them out the way. Come on, take your hand and do this right here. You know what I mean? Because I know we've had hard lives, and I thank God for taking me and making me the person that he is, because I tell my wife all the time and people on my staff that I leave people without excuse, because I had enough bad stuff happen in my life and had enough good God's grace happen in my life to pull me up out of that bad stuff to where I could stand up in front of just about anybody and say, you can change if you want to change. Because people don't change. People don't change because they don't want to change. Amen. You know what I mean? They don't want to let go of that girl because that 36, 24, 36 looked too good for them. So guess what? Instead of blaming your problems on God, just say, you know what? She looked good. I like it. Mikey likes it. And I don't want to change. Just be real with God, because when you be real with God, then the Spirit of God can be real with you. Amen. Well, you don't understand my life. That's a bunch of garbage. I can understand your life. I might not understand it in detail, because guess what? Every person is different. But guess what? I can definitely, if I sit down with you long enough, I can leave you without excuse. Amen. Somebody say amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I told my wife the other day, Wednesday service, I was talking about karate chopping people and kicking people and stuff like that. I said, honey, I said, you think I should have said that? She said, baby, be you. Be you. Be you. I can't be like Pastor Bill Winston, although I love him. I can't be like him. I can't be like, they ain't had the life I had. I can't be like Bishop Butler. I got to be me. Amen. God built me. He made me to be me. Amen. And when I just be me, guess what? I'm anointed being me. Amen. So I might tell you to sit on your lunch meat. I might tell you to shut up. I might tell you, you know what I mean? I passed gas the day before I came in. That's just me talking. Come on, somebody say amen. Amen. If I start talking all appropriate, I'm going to lose my anointing. St. John chapter 15, verse 26. It says, but when the comforter, the counselor, I'm reading the Amplified version, the helper, the advocate, the intercessor, the strengthener, the standby comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the spirit of truth. Somebody say, he's the spirit of truth. Watch this. Who comes or who proceeds from the Father, he himself will testify regarding me. Now, let's look at John chapter 16, verse 13. We're just building a little platform right here. John chapter 16, verse 13. It says, but when he, the spirit of what? Truth. Now, watch this. I'm reading from the Amplified Bible. Listen to what it says. It says, when he, the spirit of truth, the truth-giving spirit. Now, say that. Say the Holy Spirit is the truth-giving spirit. When he comes, he will guide you, watch this, into all truth, the whole truth, the full truth. But he will not speak his own message on his own authority, but he will tell whatever he hears from the Father. He will give the message that has been given to him. He will announce and declare to you the things that are to come that will happen in the future. Somebody say the Holy Spirit is the spirit of truth. Now, why is this important? Because we are in partnership with the spirit of truth. I'm showing you another side of him. You can't, the Bible says in Amos 3 and 3, can two walk together except they be agreed? So you have to understand that the spirit of truth will never come over into error. He will never come over into error. Thank you, Holy Ghost. You know, when I was talking about transforming our thinking, somebody say transforming our thinking. The Holy Spirit said something to me very clearly. He said, Claude, he said, when you're preaching to everybody, you're preaching to them about transforming their thinking concerning maybe drugs, concerning maybe their marriage, concerning maybe, you know, those natural practical things, substance abuse or whatever. Change your thinking, because as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. He said, but you have to add something to it. I said, what's that, Lord? He said, you have to change your thinking concerning traditional ideals. Hear what I'm saying here? Because it's the traditions of man that make God's word of no effect. Just because it comes in the cloak of Christianity does not mean it proceeded from the spirit of truth. I'm trying to show you something. So guess what? You can, watch this. You can, watch this, be operating in some kind of sickness or whatever based upon a religious system that told you that God is causing you to suffer for what you've done. Let me teach you something called the law of double jeopardy. Somebody say double jeopardy. You ever seen that movie, Double Jeopardy? You ever seen that movie with Ashley Judd? I think that's her name, Double Jeopardy. And you notice that when that law means that a person cannot be convicted or tried for a crime twice. Once they're convicted, they cannot be tried again. I'm showing you right here. Judgment was already laid on the back of Jesus. And you are not the same person that you used to be. As a matter of fact, the Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Watch what I'm about to say here. Now that you are one with the Lord, he cannot be charged for the crime twice. That means that God ain't in the business of judging you and condemning you. He's in the business of producing sonship in you. Are you catching this right here? So that would remove that spirit of condemnation and guilt and shame and fear off of your life, that you can't be what God called you to be. I'm telling you right now, when you submit, when you operate in the principle of loss and say, you know what, I'm willing to give up everything to serve him. Everything. If it costs me relationships, if it costs me money, if it costs me location, geographical location, if it costs me personality, if it, whatever it costs me, I'm willing to give it up for him. Guess what? Then you move over into the law of have and keep. Because you have to remember that Jesus, watch this, Jesus will never give pearls to swine. Here's what I mean. He will never give revelation to somebody who will not willfully surrender to what he give him. So most people, watch this, most people will never hear from heaven because Jesus ain't going to dish out his pearls to somebody who really don't want them. So guess what? The law of loss, or the principle of loss, puts you in a position where you say, Jesus, I want you more than I want anything else, more than I want anyone else. Are you hearing what I'm saying here? So what happens is that when you operate like that, now all of a sudden you can move over to have and keep. He that hath my word and keeps my word. He said, I'm going to love him. My father's going to love him. And then I'm going to make myself plainly seen to him. I'm going to reveal myself. I'm here to tell you something here. The Holy Ghost is always speaking. He's always teaching about Jesus. Amen. He ain't on no time clock. Wherever there is hunger, there is revelation. I'm trying to tell you something. Wherever there is thirst, there is a quenching that comes by the Spirit of God. Wherever there is desire, the Spirit of God wants to fill it. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Psalm 37, the Lord wants to show you who he is. Are you hearing what I'm saying here? I got to make sure I'm driving this thing home here. Jesus wants to manifest himself. Jesus wants to reveal himself. Jesus wants to teach us concerning every area of our life. The Spirit of God is the Spirit of truth. Don't ever think that he's going to come over into error to satisfy your flesh or satisfy your... Are you catching what I'm saying? The Spirit of God will never come over into error. He'll stand over as the Spirit of truth, and he'll woo you and he'll draw you with loving kindness. You hear what I'm saying? But guess what? He's a gentleman. He'll never make you do something you don't want to do. Glory to God. Somebody say, he the Spirit of truth. Now, what is truth? John 17 to 17, turn there. I'm going to run through this real fast. Tell him, he said, what is truth? Jesus said in John 17, verse 17, he says, sanctify them through thy word is truth. So the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of what? And then the Bible tells you right here that the word is what? So the Spirit of God will never take you anywhere outside of what's been said in his word. Never. Somebody say never. Never, 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 never. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Because this is important. That's why we have to appropriate the word. We have to get the word. We have to. This is why God gives us fivefold ministries. A lot of people don't understand. That's why we have those three classes in the morning, Christian Foundations. I'm not preaching about that. That's why we have Christian Foundations. That's why we have Ministry of Helps. And that's why we have, you know what I mean, understanding God's authority or God's government, is because what's happened. This is what the Spirit of God, this area right here, Adrian. Do you know every region has like a demonic foe that operates in that region? You do know that, right? There's every region. In this region, the demonic spirit is religion and traditionalism. I'm trying to show you something right here. Because what happens is that people get a Jesus that can accommodate all of their weaknesses, all of their frailties, and all of their mishappenings. And they never see the Jesus that will empower them to become more than a conqueror, that will empower them to become champions. Amen. And people have become satisfied, amen, with the knockoff rather than the authentic. So when you hear the voice of the authentic, they say that's too hard. That's too many rules, too many. No, it's not too hard. Because guess what? God's word can never be kept by you and your own willful desire. God's word requires his grace to be in you operating in order for you to keep it. Philippians 2. Watch this. Philippians chapter 2, verse 13. For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. So if you're going to do his will and do his pleasure, you got to be in partnership with him. You got to be in partnership with him. Amen. Amen. Here we go. Who is truth? Somebody say, who is truth? So we found out that the word is truth and that the word will sanctify you. I got to say this. The word will sanctify you. Somebody say, the word will sanctify you. Now, don't think of sanctification being a big black hat with a net coming down on it and an old black lady with a Martin Luther King fan. That's not sanctification. I'm not trying to be funny. The word sanctify means to separate or to distinguish or to make a difference. The word of God will separate you. The more you get the word in your heart, the more you're going to start pulling away from that which is not like God. There is no way. Listen, the Holy Ghost, I'm going back to it. He is the spirit of what? He's the spirit of truth. You cannot expect him to go over into error. Once you start getting truth in you, that truth is going to start separating you. Okay? He'll separate you from improper, toxic relationships. He'll separate you. I'm going to tell you right now. I guarantee you, when the word comes to you, the first place he separates you from is from people. When you truly get the word in your heart, the first place he separates you from is from people. He told Abraham in Genesis, the Lord had said unto Abraham, chapter 12, I believe is, he said, get thee out of thy father's house, out of thy country, out of thy kindred, get away from him. He said, and go to a land that I will show you. He's the spirit of truth. Somebody say, he's the spirit of truth. Now, let's find out who is truth. John chapter 14, verse 6. Turn there. Somebody tell me what time it is. We're going to end. John chapter 14, verse 6. Jesus said to him, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. There's revelation in this scripture right here. No one comes to the Father. We always take it and we say, you know what? This just means that how do I get to God? It's even more than that. No one comes to the Father except through me. Coming to the Father is literally meaning obtaining everything that belongs to you. You cannot obtain your inheritance except through truth. Except through truth. The Spirit of God wants to lead us and guide us and direct us into all truth. All truth. I'm going to say a couple of things. Watch this right here. Only the truth or God's word has the ability to free us. When truth or God's word is acted upon in faith, we get the results desired. Truth or God's word has power in itself to bring itself to pass. I'm going to say that one again. God's word or truth has power in itself to bring itself to pass. Are you catching this right here? So that means that if I get truth, Jesus is obligated to make me free. Let me just read it to you. Let me just read it to you. Jesus said in John 8, 31 and 32. I'm reading the Amplified Bible. Listen to this right here. How many people got areas in your life that you're in bondage to right now? Don't feel ashamed. Just raise your hand. Areas in your life that you're in bondage to. There's some things. See, I got two areas of my life that truth is working on. Amen. And there's nothing wrong with that. I'm a pastor. I got two areas in my life that truth is working on. Amen. Truth is working on my money, and truth is working on my marriage. I'm the Spirit of God put another book in me, and the book is going to be called The Man. Watch this. The Marriage and the Mandate. The Man, the Marriage and the Mandate is what the Spirit of God put in me about 3 days ago, because we got everything backwards. Even I have had things backwards. Amen. And he wants to deal with the man, the making of the man, the making of the man's marriage, and then his mandate. Because watch this. Remember, the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of, he's the Spirit of truth. In order for us to reap the benefits of truth in monetary things, we have to appropriate truth. Are you hear what I'm saying? We have to agree with truth in order to get the result of truth, because the Holy Spirit will lead us and guide us into what? Truth. He'll never just accommodate because of our error or because of the contradictions of our flesh or our sinful nature. He'll never accommodate for that. He's the Spirit of truth. So if I'm going to benefit in my marriage, watch this right here. I'm talking to somebody today. If I want to benefit in my marriage, I have to agree with truth and appropriate truth to get the benefits of that truth. Are you hearing what I'm saying? If I'm going to benefit in the money, I got to agree with it and appropriate the truth. If I'm going to benefit it with my kids, listen, the Spirit of God, watch this. The Bible says the anointing that abides in you, listen to this right here, will teach you concerning all things. Watch this. And he's the Spirit of truth. That means he's going to give you truth concerning all things. So when it comes to raising my kids, I got to agree with truth and appropriate truth in order for my kids to be truth. Are you catching this right here? Let me back on up. The first area that he will work on you with in truth is concerning people. Why? Because most of us raise kids wrong because what mama did and what daddy did. Let me just be real. When my wife and I got together, I got whooped with extension cords. Amen. I had frying pans fly across the house. My mama be in the middle of drinking a cup of Folgers coffee, and I say something stupid, coffee and cup come flying. Bop! Hit the back of the head. Now, that's not truth. So when I got with my wife, she had her own perception of truth. So her perception of truth, help me out, collided with my perception of truth. And if we're going to get the benefits of God's perception of truth, we got to agree with truth and appropriate truth, because the Spirit of God leads us and guides us into all truth, not error. So mom and them operated in error. God never said throw the coffee cup and hit your kid in the back of the head. God never said, you know what I mean, grab the extension cord, wrap it around your hands and whoop the kids. Come on, somebody say amen. Amen. God never said that. Amen. Although some of these kids nowadays, they need extension cord. Amen. I want to get me a torch. Hook that propane tank up to it. I'm telling you right now. Amen. Glory be to God. Some of these kids need their butt toe up. Amen. Glory to God. Amen. See, I got smacked in the mouth when I said bad words. My wife and them use soap in the mouth. I got smacked in the mouth. Blood fly. Pow! You know what I'm talking about. Blood fly. Amen. Amen. But that wasn't truth. I'm trying to show you something today. And see, we still operate. And I'm going to show you why right now, because I'm about to end right now, because I want to get this whole thing out. But we want God's results, but we're still operating according to our perception of truth. And just because it was the truth in my bloodline doesn't make it truth. It's error. Is that good teaching, man? Is that good teaching right there? Is that good teaching? Oh, here you go right now. Here you go right now. I got another one right now. Somebody say he's the spirit of
truth.
Watch this. When it comes to marriage, see, back in the day, you know, even in the church, woman shut up in the church. If I ever told my wife to shut up in the church, everybody in this whole church would know that I told my wife to shut up in the church. Because the next time I get up and preach, I'm going to have two heads. Amen. Now, that was someone's perception of truth. They took the word and misappropriated God's truth. So, woman, be quiet in the church. If you want to learn something, you better listen to your husband. So somebody took that, you know what I mean, and misappropriated truth. Another form of religion, they found that Satan, when he moved and he walked, he had music come as he moved around. He was the anointed cherub. So one religion decided, well, music is not from God. So if you play drums in the church, you have to be a devil-worshipping church. Come on, somebody say amen. Then somebody else, you know what I mean, heard when people make noise in the church, you know what I mean, it's distracting the Holy Spirit, but it's not. That was their perception of truth, because the scripture says, make a joyful shout unto God with a voice of, clap your hands, all ye people. Shout unto God with a voice of triumph. But guess what? Our truth and our perception of truth could be based upon our personality. You got to catch what I'm saying. See, my personality, I might not like noise. Or my personality, I like hip-hop. So when I'm, you know, I'm preaching, you know, I might be dancing or something like that. And then somebody see me do that. And then all of a sudden, they think I'm from the devil because of their perception of truth. Or me and G-Rod get up there and they see me with a suit on Sunday and I'm looking like this, but then I put a hat on like this. You know what I mean? And I get up there with the microphone and I start rapping. Then all of a sudden, now they think it's from the devil because that's their perception of truth. So our truth cannot be built and based upon personality. It can't be built and based upon bloodline. It's got to be built and based upon what thus saith the Lord. Because the method will change, but the message will never change. Somebody give God some praise. You got to catch what I'm saying. So the Holy Spirit wants to lead me into truth concerning every area of my life. He want to lead me in the truth concerning money. Lord have mercy. You know what I mean? You know, I want to reap the benefits of the kingdom of God, but I don't want to be a tither. And I don't want to be a giver. Amen. Come on. I went over my cutting them house, and they said, you go to Pastor Claude Church? Oh, yeah, I wouldn't go to that church. That's the image of God. They always talking about money over there, or they talking about this over there. Or he running around rapping one day, and he preaching. He don't know what he want to be. I wouldn't go to that church over there. But see, that's their perception of truth. Can I close right now? See, there is no freedom without truth. Jesus said, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. There's no freedom without truth. There's no freedom without truth. I'm going to give you one last scripture, and then we're going to go home. Turn to Hebrews 4:2. I told you this, that two-hour church. I spoke that 2 hours and 40 minutes in existence, didn't I? Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 2. You know what I prophesy? I prophesy today that when people leave this place, they're going to go home with a hunger for truth. See, once we discover that truth is not based upon our bloodline or our own personality or our perception, we're going to have to find another resource for truth. Jesus said, I am the way. I am the truth. Hebrews chapter 4. Look at this right here. Verse 1 and verse 2. It says, let us therefore fear. The word fear is not being scared of something. It means to reverence. Let us reverence lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest. Now, I want you to put your hands on your side and go like this. Somebody say rest. You know, we find the word rest in front of like restoration, different stuff like that. This is powerful what I'm about to say to you. In the kingdom of God, you and I are supposed to be laboring to enter into rest. Watch this. Entering into rest requires you and I to cease from our own works. Our works are considered error. His word is considered rest. I'm about to show you this right here. Look at what verse 2 says. This is powerful right here. Look what it says here. It says, for unto us was the gospel preached. The word gospel means good news. Somebody say good news. Word preached means proclaimed. Somebody say proclaimed. It was heralded. It was proclaimed. As well as unto them. Talking about the children of Israel. But the word. Somebody say the word. The word that was preached did not profit them. You mean to tell me, watch this, that a person can hear the word preached and 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 it never profit them? Definition of a person who hears the word and doesn't do the word. They are called an unprofitable servant. I'm trying to show you something right here. A unprofitable servant is someone who goes to church, but haven't yet discovered that they are the church. Are you hearing what I'm saying here? Watch this right here. Watch this. Why didn't the word preach profit them? It said, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. Somebody say, mix the faith in there. Here's how you do it. Regardless of your system of believing, every day when you meditate God's word, I'm finishing with this. The Holy Spirit wants to wield the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God or the word of truth. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 17 and 18. The Holy Spirit wants to feel or wield the sword of the Spirit. When the Spirit of God raises the sword up against you and I, we have to willfully fall upon the sword. Here's what I'm saying. Regardless of what I believe, I have to fall upon the sword. Regardless of what you believe, we have to fall upon the sword. How do I fall upon the sword? If the sword tells me, love your enemies. That word won't profit me until I love my enemies. That's how I mix my faith with it. If the word tells me to give, that word won't profit me until I give. Watch this. If the word tells me to love my wife as Christ loved the church and give my life for her, that word won't profit me until I love my wife as Christ loved the church and give my life for. Come, you got to catch what I'm saying here. The word will never profit until faith is appropriated. You got to hear what I'm saying. Faith is more than just speaking the word. Faith is as equally acting on the word. Peter would have never knew that he could walk the water if he wouldn't have stepped out. You hear what I'm saying? And I'm telling you right now, Peter didn't walk on the water. He walked on the word. Water is a type and shadow of natural impossibilities. No natural man can walk on water. But God's word gives you the ability to supersede natural limitations. That means if God speaks and you obey, you move into the realm of the supernatural. You're no longer in the realm of the natural. That means if the divorce rate is 55% in the church, you override the divorce rate. Because now once you appropriate word or truth, all of a sudden you are empowered to do that which is impossible. I'm going to end with this. I went on TV 10, 12 years ago. Somebody wanted to interview me as a gospel rapper. This is a true story. So I went in there, had all my hip-hop gear on and stuff like that, and it was interviewing me, and I sat down, and it was like, okay, how long you married? You know, I think the lady was trying to flirt with me or something like that. She said, how long you been married? I said, I think I was married 11 or 12 years. I'm married 21 years now. Somebody get a little hand clap. I think I was married 11 or 12 years at that time. When I said 11 to 12 years, I was already young looking fly like I look fly right now. Amen. You know what I mean? I was young and looking fly. So the lady looked at me and she said, you've been married 11 or 12 years. She said, that's impossible. People your age get divorced after the first year. Most of them don't make it to 2 years. How did you do it? I'm going to tell you how I did it. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 19, verse 5 and 6, what therefore God hath joined together, let no man put asunder. And all I did was step out on that word. That means no word, you're going to sink. No word, you're going to sink. You're going to sink financially without the word. You're going to sink maritally without the word. You're going to sink physically in your body without the word. I'm going to tell you what the word says. Somebody say the word. He hath borne our sorrows and our afflictions. The Bible says this right here. It says he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace or oneness was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. I don't care what doctor said, what lawyer said. You got to catch what I'm saying. Spirit of God is the spirit of truth. Truth never changes and aligns itself with your natural circumstance. The way you change from being an error into truth is by agreeing with truth and appropriating truth until, guess what? That truth show up in your body. That truth show up in your marriage. Are you hearing what I'm saying here? Come on, stand to your feet. Stand to your feet. This is why it's important to put the word above everything. Above everything, above everyone. No word, you're going to sink. Come on, say it with me. Say, no word, I'm going to sink. Every day, you have to look at your life as walking on the waters of impossibilities. And without the word, you can't walk. You're going to sink. Your business will sink without word. Amen. Somebody put on Facebook the other day, and I was going to respond to it. But I said, no, I'm a better man than that. They were talking about kings and priests. And when they were talking about it, they said something about a king can't be a priest and a priest can't be a king. Well, that's a lie from the pit of hell. You can be a king and a priest at the same time. I'll show it to you all over Scripture. Matter of fact, the word father is translated by the Greek word or the Hebrew word av, which was given to three offices, the priest, the prophet, and the king. So a priest or a father is a priest, prophet, and a king. So you can operate in the priestly anointing, the kingly anointing, and the prophetic anointing. Amen? But what I'm trying to show you here, in business, you have to appropriate God's word. In business. And see, we've been utilizing our skill for so long, and our skill is running out. Come on, somebody concur with that. Our skill is running out, ain't it? Our talent is running out. Our education is running out. We need something supernatural. That don't mean that we don't use skill, talent, and education. We need that. Those things are very important and intricate to God's plan in life. But there's something more valuable and more important than that. I'm going to quote Smith Wigglesworth. He said, there's something more important and way better than just feelings and emotions and all of that. He said, the naked word of God. James says, be not only hearers of the word, but be also doers of the word. The word doer comes from Greek word poio or poetis. It's where we get the word poet or actor or pretender from. Watch this right here. I'm going to bless you right now. Have you ever noticed that when you watch one of your favorite shows 24/7 or whatever your favorite show is, you ever noticed that, watch this, the actor doesn't walk around with the script in his hand? You ever notice that? Wouldn't it be funny if you're watching your favorite show and then all of a sudden the actor stopped when they're working on somebody and said, hold up, what was my line? And you saw the script and they're trying to figure out their script. You know why they don't do that? Because the word actor means, watch this right here, it means that you act like it until you become it. We used to say fake it till you make it, but now we say faith it until you make it. Here's a better one. They take the script and they confess the script until they become the script. I'm trying to show you something here. That word is a mirror. It shows you who you really are. The person that the Spirit of God wants to lead you to. That word will lead you to that person. But in order for you to do that, you have to confess it. Confess it. That's why I gave you that paper right there. Speak it out of your mouth. Continue to speak it out of your mouth. Death and life is in the power of the tongue, and they that love it. Love what? Death or life shall eat the fruit thereof. Amen. Hallelujah. Come on, bow your head just for a minute.